All right, in our remaining minutes together, I'd like to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. If you join me at Matthew chapter 18, I want to read the first 11 verses. And I want to pick up where I left off some weeks ago with the beginning of a new series that I'm going to be doing on Sanctifying Love Takes Sin Seriously. And I hope that this will be a help to us to always be on alert, to never assume that you're fine, that you're okay, you don't need to worry about sin and that stuff. I'm a believer, I'm on my way to heaven, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's a wrong way to think. It's a wrong way because the Bible says it is wrong. As a matter of fact, Paul told the Philippians to walk circumspectly. The best picture I ever heard from a preacher about that, walking circumspectly, is like a cat walking across the top of a building that has glass embedded in the mortar, like they do in Mexico. I've seen a lot of those whenever I've been in that country two or three times. And the cat walking across there, the cat always misses the glass, all right, when he's walking across. And that's the way we have to be. We have to be careful. Never, ever think you're fine. You'll be all right. Because the Bible says that we always have to be on alert. We have to be careful. So I want to read this passage of Scripture, and then we're going to make a few remarks, and then we'll be closing in prayer. Verse 1 of chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the audience? Who's the audience that's brought out here? Disciples. All right, so we got God speaking His Word. He's going to share it with the disciples through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important to see. And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them. And He said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So He answered their question. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? If you become as a little child, humble yourself before God, then you'll become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me. Now remember what has taken place here. Whenever the children had come and parents had brought their children to Christ, who was the group that spoke up and told the parents to take their kids, not to bother the Lord? Take your children away. It was the disciples. The disciples did. And so the Lord is giving them some understanding, all right? Understanding about these things. And whoso shall receive one such little child in My name receiveth Me, but whoso, now listen, shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of My Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd bless Your Word tonight. Open our hearts to receive the truth that You have for us. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, there's a great deal of talk today in churches across America, especially in broader evangelicalism, about the gospel. A gospel-centric ministry. A gospel-oriented ministry. They use that word all the time, but that's as far as they go. It's interesting to me that God included in the New Testament the book of Jude. And in that book, Jude comes to them and he said, I would come to you and speak to you concerning our great salvation. What is that? Well, that's the gospel. But he said, I've got something more I've got to share with you. And he gets into, in that little book, he touches on holiness and those that are not oriented toward holiness. He deals with false teachers and false doctrine. Clouds, they are, without rain. They look the part, but they are not true. They're not real. And he spends the entire article that he writes, it's not very long, telling this church, and it's not named, all right, we don't know. We know who it was written to, Jude. And he's warning them, he said, listen, it's wonderful to talk about the gospel, but the gospel is just one part of the teaching of God's Word. Do you understand that? A lot of people don't. A lot of broader evangelical, they spend all their time talking about the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. The gospel is wonderful. But what do you do beyond the gospel? All right, let's think for just a moment. The gospel is that God loves sinners and He sent His only begotten Son to die for lost sinners. He paid the ransom. Through the grace that we have by God sending His Son, we have salvation. And that's as far as they go. That's why we have big problems with organizations that cooperate with churches and groups that talk about the gospel, but they're not separated unto the gospel. They're not separated unto the Scriptures. They're not separated unto Christ. They're cooperating with all kinds of people that are doing all kinds of things, and they're not on the same page. Cooperating with the Catholics and cooperating with this group over here, and let's all get together. But wait a minute. God has something to say about that. Does He not? Yes. There are warning after warning after warning after warning throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, and right here in this passage, our Lord is warning of something. He said, you better be careful with my children. Now, I want you to listen up. The Bible says that when it comes to children, we are not to offend them. And by the way, that word offend is the Greek word skandalon. Anybody going to hear the English word in that? Scandal. All right, scandalon, offense. What does it mean? It means to set things in motion that will trigger a trap. Are traps good? It is when it's mice. All right, when you want to get rid of a rat, traps are great. Some people get all emotional. Oh, you got a sticky trap. Well, the poor thing just sits there like this. No, it's got poison on it, and it goes through their skin, and they die. All right? But do you want to keep the rat? No, you want the rat to go. You don't want to destroy your house with rats. I don't want one running across me in the middle of the night. All right? Because something's going to die, and I'm not going to have that in my house. Now, here's my point. We have to understand that the Bible is not, it's not myopic, and that it focuses only on one thing. It's a broad spectrum of teaching. Do I hear an amen? Broad spectrum of teaching. It touches every aspect of life after we're saved. And it touches on areas that we need to be careful of. We don't go down that road. And it teaches us, be sure to stay on this road right here. If you're not careful, you can fall into the trap that these broad evangelicals that are out there today, they talk so sweet and nice, and they use that word gospel, 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 gospel. Not everybody is following the same gospel that's in my Bible and in your Bible. You remember the other gospel that's warned about in Galatians? Another spirit, another gospel. So we have to be careful as believers in Christ. You see, sanctifying love takes sin seriously. So, he warns about children, those little children that were there. He had gathered around and said, if anybody offends one of these little ones, in relation to what? You got to look at the word. In relation to what? Look at this, please. Verse 6. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in whom? In the Lord Jesus. You set things in motion, whether it's in your family, whether it's in a school, whether it's at camp, whatever it is, if you set things in motion, that will eventually lead to a trap being set off. Scandal on means to trigger the trap, to set it up. Everybody's caught something in their lifetime. I'm sure some of you have made a bird trap. I found not too long ago, I found not a bear trap, but it was for a smaller game out in the woods. Thankfully, it was already triggered and I didn't step in it. But I found those before out in the woods. They're not nice. Traps are bad. It means what? Death. So if you offend a child, you set things in motion because of things you allow or things you teach or things of that nature, that down the road, not right now, but down the road is going to trigger a trap, it would be better for you. Now notice the scripture. It'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the ocean. Now, does that sound radical? Does that sound like strong language? Does that sound sweet to you and nice? No, our Lord said this. You can't ignore Jesus' words. I've heard preachers, sadly, well, Matthew's not for the church today. Who says? It's included in my Bible. It was written by God and shared with us. Oh, we only use the preaching of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to tell you something. Paul has a lot of warnings to give too. I think we need to understand something here, what God is saying. It'd be better that you were drowned than to set in motion a trap in a child's life that leads them away from Jesus and not to Jesus. But he goes even further. Notice this, please. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man. Now you have the world mentioned, and then you have woe to the man. So we've got the world system, cosmos, and over here you've got a man. So he's speaking to everybody here. The world causes offenses. We know that. The world system. But watch out for the man that offends one of these little ones. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. So there's some serious warnings that are given here. You see, sanctifying love takes sin seriously. Wherefore, now we're going to get into how serious this is. If your foot or your hand offend you, chop it off. It'd be better for you to go through life maimed than to allow yourself to be dabbling in sin, not taking it seriously, and to remove that's causing the problem, the scandal on. It's better to cut it off and be done with it. Throw it away. Cast it away. If your eye offends you, seeing things you ought not to see, you know, like pornography, and like, you know, videos on social media, TikTok, and all the other stuff out there. And I've heard youth pastors, I've read different individuals that talk about, oh, it's so wonderful, all these things. I'm going to tell you something. Most of it's from hell. It's destroying young people because they have access to the filth and the garbage, and they know their workarounds. Parents. They know their workarounds. And so you have to always understand and know that the scandal on, the offense is ever present. And we have to take it seriously. So if your eye offend thee, What does the Bible say? Pluck it out. It's better to go through life with one eye and watch things that are right and wholesome and good than it is to go two eyes straight to hell. That's serious business. That's serious talk. But it's gracious talk. Because what is He doing? He's sparing us from judgment. Now notice this, please. Verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now get this thought here. You know what God's saying? Children are precious to me. Children are precious to me. I think about the precious children here at Grace Bible Church. The Lord's given us a bunch. I've had special speakers and so forth comment, "Boy, you've got a lot of kids in your church." Amen. But they're going to live somewhere forever. And we got to be thinking about that and praying for them and defending them against Satan and the filth of this world. We got to stand up for them. Amen. Parents at home, grandparents, pastors, leaders, we got to watch out for our kids because they're special to God. And He says, woe unto the one who places a trap, whether they do it knowingly or not. Do you know that you can actually unintentionally set a trap for your own child by the things you allow and tolerate? You're setting a trap that one day might be triggered down the road. Let me just give you an illustration as I close tonight. How many of you read the story today about Representative Van Taylor from Texas, a Republican? He won his election in 2019. He's up for re-election this year. He had an affair a year ago. Kept it secret. Paid the woman $5,000 to keep her mouth shut. He has a wife and three girls, young girls. The news agency Breitbart got word about it. They sent him a message and said, "Listen, we're going to go public with this. We just wanted to let you know we've got this information. What say you?" He panicked. He immediately called up the woman that he paid $5,000 to, that he had an affair with. "Why are you talking? Why are you talking?" He said, "I haven't been talking. Other people talked." Got out in the media. And social media. You know the thing you think you can hide and nobody will know about? Oh, it's there. Somebody dug up the dirt. And so, having been caught, he comes out today, "I'm suspending my campaign for re-election. I've done a terrible thing to my wife and three girls." Now, he didn't think that 2 days ago. He was calling up his mistress and finding out whether she had been talking or not. What did he not take seriously? He didn't take seriously sin. He didn't take seriously his wedding vows. And now, he will not be the representative from Texas from his district. He was in a runoff election supposed to take place this week. His name won't be on the ballot now because he's had to withdraw because he didn't take sin seriously. Now, folks, this is what happens whenever you think, "I'm bulletproof. I'm bulletproof. I can have an affair if I want to and nobody's going to know about it. I can live secret sin. Nobody's going to know." But I want to tell you something about sin. It's the most corrosive agent in the world. It eats through any layer of covering that you put on it, and it will work its way up to the top. So you got to take it seriously. He didn't. His political career is in shambles now. A Republican who went to church. A Republican who was religious. a Republican who got involved with a woman a year ago and had an affair with her and paid her money. Don't say anything. Now it's all over with. You see, sanctifying love takes sin seriously. And we're gonna develop this further, because if you don't take it seriously, what happens then? What happens then? You'll have to take it seriously. That's the next point. You'll have to take it seriously. When you're getting a millstone tied around your neck, that's what's happening to Van Taylor. The millstone's being tied around his neck, whether he realizes it or not. He's toast. Even in 2022 in America, you still can't have an affair and get away with it. We live in a day of carelessness. And if we're not careful, it will ruin us. And so, Christian, take it seriously. Grace never condones sin. Read Titus chapter 2 over and over again. The grace of God has been revealed unto us and teaches us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We take sin seriously. That's what grace teaches us. We take it seriously. Even though the whole world doesn't, even though religious people don't, we do, because we're followers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Not an easy thing to preach, but a necessary thing that we have to preach. We're living in days where people are coddling evil. This whole thing with Ukraine is a coddling of an evil individual who has poisoned people and killed people for years. And yet he just continues on his way. And so now everybody's angry and upset because he's invaded another country and killed thousands of people. And now we're all upset, but where was the anger? Where was the anger and the seriousness about his actions before? It wasn't there. I pray that you'd help us to realize that we have to take sin seriously, and we have to deal with it. And we have to deal with it straight up. We can't tolerate it. We can't put up with it. We have to deal with it. If we don't, then we will have to deal with it. But the damage and the collateral damage, as with these children mentioned in Matthew chapter 18, woe be to the one that caused the offense, that set in motion the trigger that would be set, and the child ruined. Help us, dear Father, to take your word to heart, and that we might be not only enamored with your wonderful gospel, that is glorious, but the gospel is just the beginning of all the teaching that we find in your word. Glorious truths that must be obeyed and followed. We pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good evening.